College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Panthers have gone 15 minutes of game time without a shot on goal. Rodriguez leaving it for Bennett. Bennett scores! Their first shot in over 15 minutes. Sam Bennett with a power play goal, extending the Panthers' lead to 4-1.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
3-on-3 the other way. Kildas Alexander drives, got the whistle, tucked it at the rim. Somehow it went down. Jay Kildas Alexander with a magical shot and a chance at a three-point play, and everybody's on their feet here in Oklahoma City.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A 2-1 from Miller.
Muncy puts it in the air to center field. Doesn't matter if it's gone. It's caught in center. Shohei tags. He comes home, and now we go home.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Yes, indeedy. Happy hump day, everybody.
What is happening?
Blue Line Brandon alongside Andy, I don't know basketball, Johnson. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
You feeling yourself? You had a nice little run last night. It felt good, didn't it? Felt good. You watch any of the game?
Which one?
The hockey game.
No. Not a second. Yeah, I haven't seen a highlight, saw the outcome, saw a text from Coug Ludes. I had basketball practice last night.
Yeah, kind of swamped. They jumped on him early. It wasn't that good of a game. Kind of a dud. Kind of a dud of an opener in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, it's never good when sports is bad out the gate.
No, it's not.
Not a good feeling.
You want to be roped in. At least tie me in until like the fourth quarter if you're going to let me down. At least bring me along for the ride for a bit. When you get out of hand early, then you're going to lose me.
There are two things I'm very disappointed in coming into work today.
What do you got?
The first would be, I was under the assumption that our producer, our super producer, some call him around the streets.
Yeah, that's what his nickname is.
He was going to be ordering breakfast burritos for us as a show.
Yeah, why were you under this assumption? Who told you this?
Four different people
told you he was ordering burritos today.
Yeah, unsolicited. Wow. Just, hey, what's going on?
Swag's got the burrito.
I heard Swag was doing a burrito thing tomorrow because you guys kept talking about it. And I was like, really?
I mean, we did bring up burritos and how good they are and how everybody loves a good breakfast burrito. And a breakfast burrito sounds really good right now.
So I did not eat.
Uh-oh.
I'm sitting here. My tum-tum is growling.
You got one of those going on down there?
And I
there?
Come in and Swag looks baffled, confused when I say, hey, what time are the breakfast burritos going to be delivered? He's like, what
the hell are you talking about?
And so now I've been lied to by four different people.
Four different people lied to you. That's not a good feeling.
Swag, did you just not want to do it? I mean, I love you.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm very serious. So you're either playing a game because you want me to get them or people lied. One of two things is going on.
Men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Numbers don't lie.
Four different people telling me you ordering burritos.
That's a pretty high number. That's not one. That's not two. That's not three. That's four different people.
Swag is really good at like having the stern voice and look where if he didn't want to do it, he just made me feel like he was never going to do it.
Yeah, he definitely did. This was not a thing.
But he really was going to do it, but he backed out.
He backed out. He didn't want to bring in burritos. He's out on the burritos. He's got to try and make YouTube work this morning. I think he's more worried about that than getting breakfast burritos currently. Sorry, YouTube.
The other thing is I also was alerted that we are being accused.
Oh, what did we do?
Of creating thermo wars.
Thermo wars.
Thermo wars.
Who are we battling with thermo wars for?
Well, we're currently battling primetime.
Okay.
But we also have been multiple times accused by the Noon to Three show.
Ah, I'm guessing this has to do with the thermostat in the studio. Bingo.
You'd be correct.
Was his name-o.
Yeah.
B-I-N-G-O.
Yeah, with a moo-moo here and a moo-moo there.
Look, those two other shows can cram it down the cram holes, okay?
Whoa.
Let's turn up the heat on this show beef on the thermostat a little bit, okay? First off, whoever built this damn studio did not put a thermostat in here that works.
I tried to explain that to Sukanik, and it, I don't know how it comes across on the text, but it's...
Sure.
It's so
he's sending you a text. He's sending you an unsolicited message about the thermostat.
He's bringing it up on the show.
Okay, he's talking about it on the air.
Danny also texts me. Danny's the one that texts me about it, but then Sukanik will hear about it from Danny, and Danny's throwing us under the bus. So then Sukanik goes to the air and says, "You don't want this war."
Yeah, turn it.
I'll turn it to 50 when I leave.
Look, it's basically 50 every morning when we come in, and there's no like, there's no regulated, balanced heat or coolness.
I don't know what to choose.
It's either hot. Or it's cold. You have one of two options. And essentially the entire morning we rotate between turn the heat on because it's 4 degrees in here when we walk in or when you get here, you turn the heat on. By the time it gets to about 6:15, it's unbearably hot. Now we're sweating. So then we got to turn it off. By the time we get to 6:45, it's ridiculously cold again.
Yep.
And you try and find a balance back and forth. We're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. But when we walk into the studio in the morning, it's not 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's an icebox.
It hasn't been baking all day. There's no sun up. It's barely up, poking out. It is freezing in here, and we have to turn the heat on. That's how we roll.
Well, it's tough because if you go heat will just make it too hot.
Yes, eventually it gets to the point where you start sweating. That's not fun.
But even if you do auto fan heat, it still will eventually get to 74.
Yeah, Crazy Eyes McGinley, look, I love you. I know you didn't have a lot of say in this studio before you left. We miss you dearly. You screwed up the thermostat.
He watches almost every day.
I love you, Jeff. You screwed up. The thermostat sucks.
He also always wants me to tell Swag some rude message. He's like, tell him this. And tell him I love him.
Tell him YouTube's like, not what? Working. What? We miss you, Crazy Eyes.
Yeah, the temperature situation here is
your
just...
Your thermostat blows.
It's awful.
And it causes show beef. But look, I am going to defend us. I'm going to defend our honor here on the Thermal Wars.
Every time we leave. So I would say we probably get our temperature right by 8:40. The show's done at 9.
Yeah.
And then when we leave...
I turn the cool on when we leave. Every single day. We turn the heat off. We turn the cool on to hopefully cool it off by the time the next show comes
in. And I think what the most frustrating part of this is...
I think that's very conscientious of us. Maybe you should leave the heat on overnight and we wouldn't have to turn it up in the morning.
Well, Swag, did you turn the heat on this morning for me? Because I came in and it was... Like, it literally said heat.
You're not on the air.
You're not on the air.
You're not on the air. You're not on the air. He said he didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
Theater of the mind.
What a weird start.
Like, yeah, I can hear you, but I don't know if the people listening can hear you right now.
Just wanted a breakfast burrito.
I don't know if you can answer that question
that
way.
He's panicking.
Well, we are now officially the Hot Corner, so well done. We're up and running. I'm Joe Fisher. You're Patrick Harris. Go Orioles. Man, Adley Rutschman sucks. What's with my baseball team?
Is that what it says?
That's what it says, yeah. Now that went out over the air.
Think we need that one to be a drop.
That was a live sound.
That's okay.
We caged an animal in there.
Swag, it's going to be all right. Yeah. Nobody's over here yelling at you. We understand that you're dealing with a lot.
It's okay.
Just stay patient. Stay with us. Stay with us today. I need you today.
Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight.
It's my Jason.
It's 6:07. Okay, we got a long ways to go here.
Well, I came in today, so it was already on heat. I walked in. I looked in. I said, oh, it's not as cold.
Hey, this is a nice heat. Bonus.
Said 71.
That's perfect.
Now, I love 71.
Yeah, you're a little warmer.
But I understand if people want it like a 68 range.
Us bigs need it a little bit cooler.
I totally get it.
We have our yin and our yang.
What I'm upset about is the producer, Noon to Three.
Jeff Rust.
Jeff, real bad takes Rust.
What's his horrible take now?
Well, he comes in here every day after our show.
Yeah.
He usually comes in, says, what's up, effers? And then he gives us just the worst takes a human being could even think about.
He really does. Like, every week he finds a new way to top the take that is just... What?
Like, he'll just come in and be like, watermelon on a nice hot day is awful.
What? Who hurt you?
Why would you say that?
How did you become the way you are?
Fried chicken is terrible. Nobody asked your opinion on fried chicken.
He has the worst cereal takes. He has the worst movie takes. He has terrible TV show takes. He has bad sports takes.
Like, guys, I'm not
kidding.
They
just add on top of each other. He is the worst take guy ever.
He gives legitimately 7 to 10 bad takes per week.
Yeah.
Like,
I kind of want to get one of those doctor lights out and look in his eyes. Like, are you okay?
Yeah,
are you there?
Are you like, a person?
What's wrong with you, man?
Like, I'm talking, comes in, sex before 6 o'clock at night is terrible.
What?
Why? Why is that? It's just, and he never has a reason for his bad takes.
He can't back it up. You always try and back him into a corner. Like, can you explain this one to me? And he just keeps doubling and tripling down. That's
like
all
he was crapping on baseball yesterday. He's not a baseball guy.
Not a baseball guy.
So he's crapping on baseball. And Dirt's not Mr. Baseball, but Dirt's like, okay, like what?
Yeah, I like baseball.
And so he's putting basketball way above baseball. And then Dirt goes, how many games did you watch? He goes, well, the Blazers blew. And he goes, non-Blazer games.
Yeah, just you're an NBA fan. You claim to be an NBA fan. How many NBA games did you watch this year?
And it went from, I watched the TNT games to, I saw some of them to, I didn't really watch them.
It's like, of course.
So none.
Did. So none. So you think basketball is better than the other sports, but you don't actually watch it. Okay.
Well, what I'm disappointed in is when he comes in here, I feel like he's somebody that would let you know the temperature's awful.
Yeah.
And he never does.
No.
So that makes me feel like the temperature's fine. But then Danny gets in here, and Danny's like, oh, my God, is it a sauna in here? And I'm always like, dude, it said it was 68 when I left.
Look, we can have...
I don't know what to do about that.
We can have differences of opinion on what the temperature of the studio should be. Evidently, Suk, I guess, on the area of one of our P1s...
No, I heard it. Shay, okay, I texted him. I
said it has
him.
To be under 70. That's his claim. That's fine.
I said 68 to 67
totally
is
fair.
Normal temperature for everybody.
It's never hotter than 71 in here when we leave.
No.
And if you think 71 is a sauna... That's you problem.
I mean, I could live in 71
those,
all day.
Yeah, you can. You're skinny. You need a little bit more heat. Some of us have more meat on our bones. We don't need the extra heat in the room. But even for me, when it's 71, that's livable. I'm not sweating. I'm not uncomfortable. It's a little warm for me, but it's not outrageous. If you think 71 is a sauna, that's a you problem. That's not a me problem.
I just don't know. I don't know how you fix this. We're being thrown under buses.
Here's what I will warn them, okay? I got a little bit of petty vindictiveness in me, okay?
Ooh, okay, so...
You give the bull the horns, you don't want to mess with me, okay? You want me walking out of this studio turning that heat up? Because I'll do it one of these days, okay? Don't test me.
The funniest thing about that, knowing you didn't hear it and I did, is he literally said the exact same thing. He goes, nobody will out-petty me. And I will ice you out of this studio. I've been here 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. He's got tenure on me.
I will leave every day making sure that cool is on and it's 40 degrees.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Sakanic. You got to realize, all right? I know you're listening. It's probably 7:05. You're on your dog walk because you listen delayed, but it's okay. I know you're listening right now. Here's the thing. If you cool it off in here, you're not pissing me off. I can live in the cold. I'm a fat, okay? I can survive in those elements. My co-host can't. You're going to piss off my co-host, not me. And I can turn this bitch up if you want me to. We can make this thing Hell's Kitchen when I leave, if that's what you want. You want this war? You got a war.
There's no war.
There's a war.
No. Crips, Bloods, we're together. Same team.
Joining same teams here.
There's no war.
Look, I think we can all agree this is the thermostat's fault. And Jeff McGinley, we love you. You built a terrible thermostat in
here. Well, it's a weird studio. Like, to give you a peek behind the curtain here, the studio in our old building was literally a room, and they just added stuff to make it a studio. This is literally a metal box.
Yeah, we're in a box.
That was put into the building, almost like a shipping container.
Yeah.
And made to a studio.
Yeah, people outside look in, they say, what's in the box?
It looks weird.
And we're in here, that's who's in here.
If you got into the building, you'd go, that's not supposed to be in there.
No, it's not.
It's very odd.
It's a movable object, but for some reason, we can't get the right heat and coolness in here.
I think regulating the temperatures, it's kind of a challenge, to be honest. So it's, I don't know. No thermal wars here. I don't want any beef.
You don't want any beef?
No,
I'll take this beef on. If you want me to take this beef on, I'll take this beef on.
I get in first, and I'm always the coldest.
You'll be in here in a parka tomorrow.
Yeah. Sometimes I got to wait for the heat to get going.
Hey, Dirk, good morning.
Is he going to be okay?
I don't know if he's going to be okay.
I'm legitimately worried. I don't like bad mood swag.
We're no longer the hot corner, so
there you go. Hey, there you go.
I can acknowledge the Orioles suck again. I don't have to pretend to be a fan. I'm not Joe Fisher anymore.
I mean, yikes.
Yikes.
Man.
Yikes.
My team lost to the Nats, but I'm still like, yeah, at least we're 500.
I like how we got a Dodger highlight in the open. First win in a week and a half, and they get in the open. Let's have higher standards here.
It was dramatic at the end. I was hoping and waiting.
Sacrifice fly? How did they win? What was so dramatic?
Well,
they beat the D-backs.
They beat the Diamondbacks.
Congratulations.
Yamamoto had a no-hitter going into the seventh. Wow. And they had a lead. I thought they had no pitching.
Yeah. What happened to the pitching?
They got one pitcher.
He's got a sub-2.5 ERA. He's over here complaining about pitching.
How are the 15-34 White Sox shutting out the Mariners in the open?
I thought about that. I was actually holding out hope after I got home from the Hops game that the Timbers would score in extra time to advance, and that didn't happen.
I have an Atlanta radio station saying they wouldn't trade two pitchers, or no, a positional player and a pitcher for Paul Skeens. No way.
Excuse me?
No way.
I'm not kidding. One of the radio stations in Atlanta did this. Let's say the Pirates call you, and they want this starting pitcher and this infielder.
Would you trade Delano Batten for Giannis Antetokounmpo?
No. Literally what it felt like.
Untouchable.
Like, nope.
Nope.
He plays once a week. And the guy's like, he gives you 32 starts, and he's a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, he might be the best pitcher in all of baseball.
Like, what are we doing?
He's like 22 years old.
It's one of the worst radio segments I've ever heard. Thank God for the listener, Andrew, for tagging us in it, because, geez, man, what are you doing?
He's pretty good. I'd like to have that guy on my
team. I'd love to have Paul Skeens all day.
I'll take that guy on my team.
I'd pay more.
Yeah.
Who else do you want?
I would, too. What else you need? I'll give it to you.
You are kind of unfair that way. Your Doyers get a win over a relevant team, and they're in the highlight. Your team loses, and I got nothing.
Nothing.
It's the only power I have in here.
There's nothing.
Yeah, you two power.
You fixed it. Look at you.
Proud of you.
Technical swag over there.
You know what you should do?
He's got to figure it out.
We should celebrate. Order breakfast burrito.
Yes! I could use a breakfast burrito right now.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll do it. Maybe I'll get on. I was lying.
Well, there's no coffee in the building either, so.
Oh,
dude,
no. You're going to have pissed off swag. Oh, no.
You're going to have tired, angry swag guard.
So as soon as the coffee shop across the street opens up.
You know what? You put your feet up. You make sure we stay on YouTube. I'll figure this out.
We're on the air.
Okay? I got a nice bonus. I got a kicker yesterday.
Well, that and we had sad news yesterday.
We did. Let's talk about the sad news, and then we'll get to some NFL stuff. We don't need to urgently dive into a 114-88 blowout, do we?
No.
No, I got takes on it, though. I can't prepare today. I used my pregame video to get some of my takes.
Was more dirt rant than
anything
else.
I got spicy today.
Basketball dirt.
We got your omelets.
I'm out. I'm done. I don't want. Yeah. It's over.
We got Sprague's breakfast rankings yesterday. This morning we got petty dirt.
It was a spicy burrito this morning.
Well, it's gonna be a spicy show. We'll have some spicy burritos in the studio. Blue Line Brandon is in today. I'm super excited to hear his hockey takes. Statter Story at 8:15. Sam Monson at 7:30. Loaded show. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, RIP George Went. No,
that
kind of
sounded
update.
Cool, actually. I'm not gonna lie. Now, hot, hot. This is dirty. That was kind of a fun little matchup
Remix.
Right there.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Yeah, George Went passed away yesterday.
I saw that, man.
You know, that's that TV show, just from when it came out and aired, completely misses my era.
Yeah, me too. A little bit before my time.
But, bear with me here. As little as I remember it live, my mom and my stepdad used to watch it every time it came on.
Yeah.
And so that theme song, my stepdad was kind of an awful person. I'll just be very transparent with you. Drug problems, drinking problems, not a great dad, very absentee, got into a lot of mischief, right? It's weird that show, every time anything connected to that show happens, I think of the very rare moments where he was a normal person.
Yeah.
Sitting down.
Watching the show,
laughing, enjoying it.
Yeah. Theme song makes you feel good. Yeah. Everybody knows your name.
And I'd be a little kid in the living room on the floor watching that intro, and they're sitting down watching it. And so George Went passed away yesterday at 76. Went the perfect way, right in your sleep, just peacefully passed away.
It's the way to go.
Very beloved Norm from Cheers.
Evening, everybody.
Norm!
What's shaking, Mr. Peterson?
What isn't?
How's life? Like I slept with its wife.
Evening, everybody.
Norm! Hey, Mr. Peterson, what do you say to a cold one?
See you later, Vera. I'll be at Cheers.
That's fantastic.
He said one of them that I really loved that he said it was all of them were circulating yesterday when he walks in. Hey, he basically asked, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, waiting for my second beer. I guess I'll have to kill time with the first.
That's such a good answer, man.
So he passed away yesterday, and I like George Wendt. He was always very likable, obviously, with the SNL skit and all the great work he did outside of Cheers. But when he passed away, when anything connected to Cheers happens, it kind of like brings me into a kind of a weird throwback moment of just remembering those rare moments in my youth.
Yeah, that you got to watch the show and experience it.
When my family felt normal.
Slightly normal family.
For 22 minutes.
Thursday nights, it's Cheers and everybody sits down and watches it.
Yes.
Don't have a lot of shows like that anymore in television. It was ironic, too, because what was it, the 32nd anniversary or 30? It was an anniversary yesterday of the finale. And that, so it was already kind of going viral and people were talking about it. I saw Sue kind of tweet about it, and it was kind of considered one of the shows. And we've had this conversation a lot over the years of how you end TV shows and what's the right way to do it. And is there any shows that people kind of universally look at and say that was well done? Usually we critique them mainly because we're upset that the show is ending. And Cheers was one that at the time was like 80 million people watched it. And it was a universally beloved finale. Like, that's a good way to end the show. And Norm comes in, sits down. They have one final conversation. Ted Danson walks out. You're like, it's just, you know, hey, sorry, we're closed. It was just a great way to end that show. And it's an era of TV that I don't know if we'll ever get again. You get kind of the big time streaming shows, but to have 80 million people watching a network finale. It was remarkable to remember that, and then you get the news later in the day that George passed away. I don't really have any Cheers references. I've never really watched the show. Obviously know the theme song. Obviously know how big of a deal Norm was. My first thought when I saw the news was DaBears. Like, that was one of my favorite SNL skits of all time, one of the best ever. You know, they've ever come up with the combination of sports and comedy. It was perfect. Dicka, mini Dicka. We still
the
make
super
jokes.
Super fans.
Well, it's him. It's Farley.
Who wins
right?
in a round of golf? Is it Dicka or Jesus? Yeah. Now, are we talking big Jesus or little Jesus? Like, it's just... My dad and brother and I still joke about that to this day. So that was my thought, but very sad that he passed away.
No, he was Norm. He will always be Norm. I mean, he acted on Broadway, I guess.
Oh, he had a phenomenal career.
Was in a few movies here and there, but no, forever.
A lot of TV shows.
He'll be Norm.
Yeah, for
he's
sure.
always Norm, and that was
one of the most beloved TV characters of all time.
Indeed, it was.
Oh, yeah.
You've
no
got,
doubt.
Yeah, the Cheers ending, the MASH final. Show and a couple others were generally thought to be about as well done as you can do it, as opposed to Seinfeld that torqued everybody off, and the Sopranos ending didn't exactly. Their audience didn't exactly.
It was a polarizing
ending.
They didn't love it at the time. Yeah,
but
yeah,
no.
I think it's aged
like
better,
it.
But I don't think he liked it at the time.
Yeah, I just, you know, R.I.P. George Wendt. Sad day. Gave us a lot of laughs, a lot of moments. Some of us older. Doesn't matter if you're younger.
We should all hope to have a career like Norm.
Oh, that would be the dream. There was a guy on a show my wife was watching yesterday afternoon, and I was like, this guy. I've seen this guy.
This guy's
been
familiar.
A good guy and a bad guy and stuff. Yeah. My wife goes, yeah, I know that. And I go, that's the career I would want.
Yeah.
Guy who always gets a role. Nobody can remember his name. Maybe once in a while, you go to a grocery store and someone's like, hey, you, the thing. And it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. But most of the time, you got that money and you're left alone, completely alone.
Now that I live back in a neighborhood with bars within walking distance, it is my dream at some point to have that feeling.
Your stool just right
walk
there.
In, hey! Like when you walk in, you know, it doesn't have to be every weekend, but just, you know, that's my spot. I'm going to come hang out.
You're going to have to get some one-liners.
Hole. You got to have one-liners ready to go. You got to have good jokes ready in the hip pocket, some good dad jokes. I got those.
Well, the Cheers in Boston, the real Cheers, actually put the stool out and they put his picture.
I saw that
and
with
a beer.
Yeah, and they had some flowers there too. Yeah. That was really cool.
Really cool moment. And I know pop culture wise, it's not been the most relevant show in our lives for a very long time, but we deserve to pay our appreciations to George Wendt. Really good messages.
Raise
from the
one
cast.
To him sometime today.
Amen. Very good news for Dirt.
Oh.
Very, very good news for Dirt.
Oh.
What is it? I will tell you coming up. On the other side.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have listeners that are saying George Wendt is Jason Sudeikis' uncle.
It's a pretty wild note. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That's a fun fact. Yeah, here it is. He put out a statement. Memory of his late uncle. That's crazy.
Well, that's a very talented family right there, man.
R.I.P. Norm, man. That's just a weird feeling of like going back to my youth. But good news for Dirt. We've got good news for Dirt.
What happened yesterday?
Well, aside from you being incredibly wrong about all the sports, I got good news for Dirt. Okay.
Other than that,
he's no Blue Line Brandon. We understand that.
Hey, I'll make my picks. I keep making my
Carolina Hunter had lost at home in the playoffs. That was
Ice Cats, man.
Man, yeah, I know.
I tried to warn you. You watch hockey all year. You didn't listen to me. Huh? Get away from the red line. Why don't you go to the blue line?
Go to the blue line.
I believe in my Canes.
Your Canes? I thought you were a Kraken fan.
No, you'll jump on the Canes for the playoff. Kraken aren't sniffing
you
the
are
playoffs.
You are a sports fan slut.
He absolutely is.
You are just sleeping around.
What's your sports body count at right now, huh? It's getting up there. I'm a little worried about you, Bonnie Blue.
There is a...
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, you don't know who that is?
That's a reference he will not understand.
No, don't Google that.
Don't Google that. No, really, don't Google that at work. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
There is a part of me that always wants to do that, to be honest. Just jump to every team I like and
just randomly just kind of pounce on
a
team
and not be too committed. Yeah, but, you know, I think you find a rooting interest.
I'm with Swag on that. You have to have a rooting interest in
the playoffs. I'm not like buying gear and all that stuff, but it's like, all right, who's left in the playoffs? I want a rooting interest somewhere.
It's either got to be a team. You either got to gamble on the game to have a rooting interest for the game,
right,
or a storyline or a team that you want to see win. I can't watch it being neutral. I can't watch playoff sports and just be like, oh, I don't care who wins. I can't do it.
Like, living and dying, but it's like, all right.
Photoshopping his face and head on Bonnie Blue would be the funniest thing ever, with sports logos all around him.
You need a Canucks logo, a Kraken logo, a Cowboy logo, a Charger logo, now a Carolina Hurricanes
logo.
Blazers in the back, a Beaver logo. Who else are we missing? Lake Ridge logo.
Pilots. I mean,
Pilots logo. Yeah.
Linfield,
Dodgers
his
in
nephew.
Oh, got to do Linfield, Dodgers. Got to have the Dodgers
in
there.
Got a lot of tentacles going
Hops
on.
Got to have a Hops logo there. Yeah, I mean, you got
to
fill them up.
Had a nice 7-2 win last night to open up the series.
Good news for Dirt is that the NFL is indeed, finally, we don't have to talk about this anymore.
Finally.
Goodbye to the tush push.
Oh, yeah, brother. Can we all agree on this one, or are we going to yell about this one, too?
I think we've already, if you are going to yell about it, I think we've already yelled about it.
All the yelling is done at this point.
Much like the reseeding, we all knew that was happening, so we got it out of our system.
I actually saw yesterday that the reseeding might not pass. There's a lot of intel that says it might not pass the NFL. Owners.
Really?
Yes, I saw a couple of those tweets yesterday.
They have not voted yet, so to be fair to your point.
The vote is expected today.
It's expected around
one-ish. And it's losing steam quickly.
The tush push?
To keep it. To keep the
to keep the
because Diana Rossini's saying it's gonna they're voting against it. It's gonna go away.
They changed the language of it, right? Like, it's not just banning the quarterback. I mean, it's banning pushing people,
pushing
forward,
players,
which is not a
you're
football
supposed to block.
It should be banned. It should be banned at any level. I hate it. Even when you're down the field running and you get two defenders that hold up a running back, and then I get to have four offensive linemen come in and shove you 7 more yards down the field. That your forward progress is stopped. That's the end of the play. Blow the damn whistle. I can't stand it. It's not a football play. And I don't like watching the Eagles rugby scrum their way to first down and first down and touchdown and touchdown. So I'm glad that they're finally going to do this. It should be changed. You can still have normal quarterback sneaks like every team in the NFL, but you should not be able to pile a bunch of guys behind the quarterback and push him forward. I can't stand it.
Did you see the news that came out yesterday as well? We didn't get to it. The U.S. Olympic NFL flag football team is going to be a thing in 2028.
Yes.
We got a dream team coming in 2028.
We do have a dream team coming in 2028. I don't know if that short, mad quarterback's going to be on the team the way he thinks he's going to be.
The guy who said, I'm better than Patrick Mahomes, I should be on that
guy,
team.
Yeah.
That guy?
That guy, yeah.
I remember that guy.
Well, a lot of people were playing this game yesterday, and I wanted to run down a list. CBS Sports put together a list of who they want on the team. The dream team.
You feel like this has got to be the way. What year was the dream team? 92? Was
92,
that first?
Yes.
Yeah.
1992.
Like all the
Barcelona.
Random like accountants from Germany or like whatever country you want to pick, all of a sudden having to play against Jordan and Barkley and all the guys. You just think of all the poor bastards that are just like running the mill flag football players in like England, and now they got to go in the Olympics.
They're not going to get run over. And, well, it's flag football.
Have fun. Yeah, you don't get run over in basketball either. You think they had fun losing 172-59 when Justin Jefferson's torching you and you're down 87-0? That's going to be fun.
I think it's Barthelona.
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 They like to do that TH thing in there when there's a C-looking thing. Well, the other thing about this interesting is, much like the Olympics in basketball, how many players will cite a different country so they can play for a team in the Olympics?
Ah, you think that'll happen, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it happens in basketball.
Yeah. Basketball is a little more internationally developed at this point.
No. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think the USA should easily win the gold medal.
Hey, I had an uncle from Germany. I want to go do that instead of playing with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm going to give you this team. I actually think this team is perfect.
Uh-huh.
This is the only reason I kept this roster.
We got a good team right now?
Well, Jaden Daniels at quarterback.
Okay. Over Lamar?
I think I'd give Lamar the choice first.
Okay.
And if he said no,
first right of refusal goes to Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And
he
then it goes.
Well, and part of the rules they passed was it couldn't be any more than one player.
So here's
per
the quarterback.
NFL team.
Quarterback can only run past the line of scrimmage after first handing the ball off and receiving a lateral or going out for a pass.
Mm. So hand it off, flip it back to him, go run around.
Yeah. So you can't just like get the ball,
run.
Go.
No.
Okay. Lamar couldn't be quite Lamar.
Yeah.
Center can go out for a pass immediately after snapping the ball. Tyler Warren, line two.
That's a good
he
call.
He literally caught a touchdown pass at USC doing this. Wide receiver and running back can line up as either a standard running back or a wide receiver. The edge rusher can rush the quarterback from 7 yards off the line of scrimmage. Defensive back essentially functions as a traditional cornerback, and the safety can prioritize and do whatever they want.
Kind of roam around.
The field is a 70 by 25 yards length. 40-minute games, two 20-minute halves, four downs to reach midfield, and then four downs to score.
Okay.
No run plays within 5 yards of the end zone, and overtime if score is tied, each team getting equal chance to win.
Look at that.
So Jaden Daniels.
Smart overtime rules. Okay.
Jahmyr Gibson. Or Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Yep. Okay, I'm all right with that.
Devon Achane.
Yeah.
Fastest dude in the NFL.
He's super fast. It's a good dude in flag football.
Jefferson has been talking about wanting a gold medal for 6 months now.
Him and Ja'Marr Chase should be your wide receiver one, wide receiver two.
That is the combo.
Yeah.
How about this one to flip both sides?
Oh.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
I'd put him on that.
He could go both ways.
Hell yeah, he can.
I'm down with that.
I don't know if I like the edge rusher, Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
It's based on speed because you're not getting blocked.
Yeah, is he the fastest edge rusher?
Who is the fastest edge rusher?
I don't know.
Nolan Smith Jr. for the Eagles. Stingley as a DB. That's a good one.
That's solid.
Maxwell Hairston for the Bills. I would probably go Kyle Hamilton because he's versatile.
He's versatile. I also worry about it. I feel like he's a bit more of a physical safety, which I don't think you need in flag football. Like, I think you're looking for just the best peer athletes out there.
How about this one as an alternate running back? Bucky Irving.
Huh?
Now, here's where the Ducks will jump in and be like, look at us, gold medal Oregon. If they get an Oregon Duck on that team, oh, my God. So help Oregon Twitter.
Herbert ends up being the quarterback, leading the team to a chance. That counts as a Super Bowl? It kind of counts as a Super Bowl, right? It's a gold medal. They beat Spain 842-7.
Would you use it in the clutch gene conversation?
I absolutely would, dude. You know I would. I'd have that in my hip pocket.
He's not clutch. You see that pass against Siberia?
Oh, yeah. How many gold medals does Tua got, huh? Immediately the argument. I don't know how much
bad
of this
I'll
watch.
Bad day for Emmanuel Acho that day.
That absolutely will be a bad day. You didn't see that one coming, did you, Emmanuel? This is a long ways off. I think it'll be fun to have NFL players in there. I'm glad that they voted to allow them to play. They're going to just demolish everybody, so that will be entertaining. I'll be curious how big of a deal this is for us as sports fans.
I think it'll be a fun thing to
like
have.
Like a fun thing? Because it's the Summer Olympics, right?
Yep.
Summer
2028.
Olympics. So what's the, like, because in the Summer Olympics, you have basketball.
You got basketball,
and next
golf,
Olympics and basketball,
tennis, swimming, track and field.
France should be the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that's next NBA or next NBA. Next Olympic basketball run is going to be fascinating. Like, that's kind of a changing of the guard for the U.S. with a lot of the guys likely not playing anymore that have been key figures on that team for a long time. You might have a bit of a handing off of the torch. So how does that look for them? I think
you already have.
Yeah, you might.
There's nobody there to hand it off. They're gone. Yeah. KD, Steph, LeBron will not be on the team.
Will LeBron be a coach of that team?
I think he'll show up. It'll be in LA.
Yeah, be hanging out.
But you got to think, like, if it's Ant Edwards, for example, he'll be three more years seasoned and he'd already had the experience. Like, there should really be no reason why he's not ready to lead it.
Should be the dude.
Now,
Cooper Flag will be Flag, a couple years
Brunson
in the NBA.
Will probably be on this yep. team, right? Halliburton.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can beat France, but they should have enough experience with players to be pretty good to not, to at least medal again.
Yeah.
The football thing is like, I'm not overly jacked about it just because I don't know what that competition looks like. So is it just us easily winning 70-7?
I mean, it'll be 92. They're going to kill everybody. Yeah. I would imagine, but who knows?
But it's at least cool to see those athletes in the Olympics now.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
We've never had that.
It's a fun spin on it. And I think it doesn't always have to be the biggest names in the sport. But seeing those guys kind of come together and play together in flag football and just drill like Italy. Sorry, Italy. Run your ass over. Like, yeah, it's going to be entertaining. It'll be fun.
Here's a question that I don't have an answer to. What country is going to have sneaky... biggest competition to us? Like, how many NFL players
probably
are from
Canada,
a country?
Because they do play Canadian football and it's wide open and they gun it all over the place.
Are there a lot of Canadian NFL players?
There's a lot of Canadian football players.
I'm not worried about the Canadian
the football Canadian players. Football players won't.
Who are the NFL players who are going to go to a different country?
Who are from, I don't know.
That would be a fascinating
but at
one.
Least, you know, they play a version of that football. Where
so your other high-ranking flag football nations, according to my Google AI search, Mexico consistently ranks high, evidently. Well, that's in the women's division. Other strong flag football nations include Austria.
Yeah, see, I don't...
Austria? Get out
I'm
of
not,
here.
I'm not talking about
Germany,
the teams.
Japan, and Italy.
I'm talking about the NFL players now have just been given the green light to say, oh yeah, my mom's German, so go play for Germany that won't be on USA that are then going to play for a different country.
Aren't there a few guys that have Australian New Zealand? Where's Jordan Mailata from?
Yeah, those kind of guys.
Yeah, I think he's New Zealand.
But the big That's uglies, I mean, they're not as quite a big of an impact in flag football.
But
I mean, you know, again, you see it in basketball.
I'll be curious how many guys end up actually doing that and how many guys try.
It's a chance to play in the Olympics.
It
man.
Is a chance to play
how
in the Olympics.
Many, how big is the whole roster? Like, how many are you allowed to have?
I got here 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So you have, well, I guess
so.
You
you're
got
playing both ways.
Not every player.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
You have an edge rusher. Yeah.
Seven on seven. So you somewhere no more than 20 total.
Probably 20 total.
Pretty limited rosters.
I mean, you know, it's just something to get excited for the Olympics. The funny thing about that, not funny, but the thing that sucks about it is, the minute one of these dudes
gets
hurt.
It's over. The second somebody tears an ACL in this thing, they'll shut it down.
Now, I think there's stuff about cap relief and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the owners built in some insurance and some, so you teams can't lose more than one player per team, I think.
Yeah,
and,
but ask the Commanders how they'd feel if Jaden Daniels tore his ACL.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, people that cap
yeah, they
relief.
Get cap oh, yeah. relief
in the middle of July, now
whatever.
He's out for the rest of the season. Very cool. They will shut this down immediately.
And I'll admit, I think my NFL fandom will trump my Patriots.
Without a doubt, dude, if that's your star quarterback, you are so against these guys playing.
I think you would be, yeah.
Like, no, I don't want you to wrap yourself in bubble until September comes around, and then we'll see you out there on the field.
No
again.
Running, Jaden. No running.
I don't even want you to walk. I want you to lay on a couch for 4 months. We'll see you when the season starts.
Sam Monson's going to join us at 7:30 to get his thoughts on that. We'll get to the basketball stuff as well. We got an update on the NBA draft, huh? It's the Blazer Nuggies. Blaze Nugs.
Blaze Nugs.
What's your dipping sauce?
Ooh.
We'll talk about that. Back with more Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. Well, I know everybody was antsy and waiting, and we finally got it. Michael Jordan's longtime agent, David Falk, has come in. LeBron's not a top two player of all time.
Who's number two?
I didn't see. He just says, I really like LeBron, but if Jordan cherry-picked his teams, he'd have 15 championships.
Got it.
Yeah, David, because you wouldn't have manipulated the situation in that era at all, would you?
No. Never would have happened.
Idiot. This actually came across the wire right as our segment ended. Bit of breaking news out of the NFL.
We never get breaking news during our show.
Did they have the votes?
It never, ever happens.
Turns out. Man Campbell listens to the radio program. Brandon Sprague convinced him. The Lions have withdrawn their reseeding proposal. It will not happen. So the NFL will be keep doing the right thing.
Didn't have the votes.
Play a division, get rewarded for winning the division.
Can't wait to see a below 500 team hosting another playoff game.
There happens every year.
All
they
the time.
They need to workshop that.
Happens constantly. Just like I want to see Boise State get a first round bye in the college football playoff for winning the Mountain West.
I mean, they were dominant.
What's your best win this year? Well, it was technically a loss, but, you know, we had a really good season, and we deserve a first-round bye.
Excuse me. Their best win was at the end of the season. They beat Oregon State.
That's true. Mighty Oregon State. That was a nice win on their resume at the end of the year.
That will be back. That proposal will be back.
It's like the tush push. We will now talk about it every offseason, and eventually it probably will get passed. I don't know what change. Like, this is mainly a Roger Goodell thing. Like, when Goodell wants something to happen, he can put his thumb on the scale and say, it's going to happen. That's the reporting
this
on the tush push.
Part to get help him get his 18-game schedule. So then when the 18-game schedule comes in, then it's a little easier.
Well, but if it doesn't happen, if we don't have a Vikings, let's just say this, because like the one thing I think Dirt and I can agree on this topic, because we talked about it yesterday, is
that Vikings were frauds.
No, it doesn't happen often. It happens, but it doesn't happen that often.
Well, you have a lot of teams that have better records that have to go on the road, but you don't have a lot of teams that are below 500 that win their division. That's only happened four times.
There's not a lot of truly awful teams that win a division and then make it and host. If this doesn't happen in the next 2 years, even with an 18-game schedule that is absolutely going to happen in the NFL,
yes,
will this get brought back up, I guess, is what I would ask.
I think it will. I think this would be a back burner thing every NFL offseason. Now, will it ever pass? I don't know. It depends on what Goodell wants to do, because he is the all-seeing eye and the controlling person in all of this. But this will get brought up again next offseason.
And when you go to an 18-game schedule, now you're playing 2/3 of your schedule outside of your division.
Yeah.
If you go back all the way when it was a 14-game schedule, and you had 5-team divisions, half your schedule was in your division.
Is there a way to tweak the way we do the schedule? Like, where I use the Vikings as a great example here, because I think Dirt used them as well. They play in a tough division, for sure. But then they also play the AFC South, right? Like, so some divisions get to play the weakest divisions.
Yeah.
Well,
but I think that's all random.
Divisions.
I don't think you can. There has to be some mechanism. It can't just be a total crapshoot year after year.
Well, it's cyclical, too. Like, you could say the NFC North is a good division. You're not wrong right now. Last year it was
3 years
really strong,
from now, it could be crap.
Goff fades in a couple of years. Maybe Caleb flops. Yes. Jordan Love gets hurt. And you're like, well, now that division sucks.
Predicting which division is strong and which one sucks on a year-to-year basis is very difficult for them.
Which is why I was against the reseeding. Is like, you just don't know what division will end up being stronger than the others. I'm saying
but you also, they want to have a system where teams know that they're going to have every team to come to see, play their team at some point.
But you could play a team from the AFC South and the AFC East. You don't need to play all the teams in the AFC South.
Yeah, I think, there's something there
that
I wish you
could
work on. Yeah, not just do we play an entire division from the other conference.
Right.
I think we could agree on that. I think their argument will be stronger when you have an extra regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what they're waiting for. Basically saying, to the point of, you can't just feed off of a bad division, or maybe it's not enough of a sample size because you did get an easy division in your AFC-NFC crossover. But when you get to the point of playing 18 regular season games, that's what, 10 division games, right? Because you play everybody twice.
Mm-hmm.
So you play five teams twice.
No, there's only four teams in each division.
Eight games.
You play six. You're only playing three other teams twice.
There's only four. Oh, yeah, touche. So you're playing six. And then
six.
You got 12.
You have 12 other games
so
now.
That's enough of a sample size to me of, like, you basically played everybody. And then I think the argument gets a little bit stronger, where there's going to be sometimes you get teams that benefit from schedules that are a little bit easier than others. But that's so many games against the rest of the NFL that you would want that to mean something.
I just wonder if they're going to tweak more the schedule, because the Lions withdrew this because they clearly talked to the NFL about this. This was not just like, oh, you know what? Actually, we don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
This was a conversation behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they go to 18 games, do they cut a division game out? And you just say, sorry, Bears, you're going to Vikings. Vikings are not coming back to you.
You only play one game.
And then if they're going the way of divisional crowns don't mean as much eventually, which I think we kind of agree they will, I think you make it more, okay, it's more NFL centric, so it's not two divisional games. Maybe it's you play each team, but you play at one spot, and then you play more of the rest of the league.
Yeah, you basically play the entire NFL at that. I mean, you're getting to the majority of the league.
I think that's a monumental shift that you're another generation of ownership away from approaching.
I don't know. You could be right, because like Baltimore and Pittsburgh are such a good rivalry to those fan bases that you don't want. I think all of this stuff is up in the air, and I think it's fair to be asking these questions out loud of, how are they going to tweak it to maybe not do the reseeding, or maybe they'll end up doing it no matter what.
Yeah.
But when you go to 18 games, I mean, first of all, it's such a stupid idea for that league to do.
More money, baby.
Yeah, I get it, but it's so dumb. Yeah. Every team's going to get bit by the injury bug because of it, and then every fan base is going to be pissed. And some years the fan base will be like, oh, shut up. You're just jealous. My team's better than yours. And then their knee will give out the next year, and they'll be like, hey, actually, the 18 games pretty awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's a terrible idea. I just wonder how they're going to tweak things to continue to grow it to make the 18 games, I guess, make sense.
Yeah.
While also trying to even out some of the schedule stuff.
This was a big flip on its head from where we were yesterday in the reporting when we were on the air to where we ended up today. And the Lions just saying like, nope, we'll pull it. So I don't know what the conversation were, why the NFL wanted them to do it. But clearly there was something that happened behind the scenes that made them pull this thing.
But I want you to know Jason Kelce is on his way to Minneapolis on behalf of the Eagles to really fight for the tush push.
That's right. You go fight for that tush push.
Good job, Jason Kelce.
This is my play, baby.
Loaded second hour of the program. Sam Monson will join us coming up with the Daily Ticker at 7:30. But we start hour two. Not so great a start. Hour two on the Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.